thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Guys, it's no use putting it off. The best time for an underwear refresh is now. Tommy John underwear is designed for a perfect fit that stays put all day. There's zero chafe thanks to four times more stretch than competing brands. And their innovative horizontal quick draw fly is a game changer. With over 30 million pairs sold, there are thousands of men out there more comfortable than you. Don't settle for less. Go to TommyJohn.com today for 25% off your first order with code COMFORT. That's TommyJohn.com, code COMFORT. Tommy John, comfort perfected.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We're going to head up to my old stomping grounds of Milwaukee, Wisconsin at 5:30. My friend Dan O'Donnell used to work with him. He's a talk show host at WISN. He's covering the trial for Wisconsin Judge Hannah Dugan. This is not getting a lot of coverage because of so many other things in the news cycle, but she is the circuit court judge in Milwaukee who is accused, she's not accused. She let an undocumented illegal evade arrest by sliding out the back door of her courtroom and got busted for it. And now she's on trial and should probably lose her law license, et cetera. But Dan O'Donnell will join us. Plus, we have an audio cut of the day. We've been talking a lot about the things that are happening. Brown University and the police in Providence holding a news conference in the last hour with some new video images of the suspect in that particular case, which they have not had in custody and do not at this point. John Ziegler is with me, the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. Oh, I'm so looking forward to this conversation because there's a lot I want to ask you and you never hold back from your opinion. So how are you, John?
I'm always good talking to you, Mark.
Well, look, you're never and never have been risk averse of criticizing the president. But this whole situation with Rob Reiner, and I know how much Rob Reiner hated Donald Trump, but rarely do I agree with Thomas Massie. But Congressman Massie said, regardless of how you feel about Rob Reiner, this is inappropriate and disrespectful discourse about a man who was just brutally murdered. I guess my elected GOP colleagues, the VP and the White House staff will just ignore it because they're afraid I challenge anyone to defend it. Now, I retweeted that and said I cannot defend it. And by this point, people probably know that he said Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away together with his wife Michelle, reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump derangement syndrome. Now, the same group that, you know, lost their minds over Jimmy Kimmel, and I thought Jimmy Kimmel, I don't think he's funny. I didn't like what he did, but they're defending this. This is what drives me crazy, and I know it drives you crazy as well. Now, there are a lot of Republicans criticizing this, but a lot of people are like, all right, well, Trump being Trump, John, and let's face it, it is Trump being Trump, right? You're not going to change some things.
I think this is beyond Trump being Trump. Of course, as you know, Mark, because we've been talking about this for about a decade, my number one concern since 2015 about a Trump presidency is that I believe that this man is fundamentally, psychologically, uniquely unqualified for this position of being the president of the United States. And I think this is a perfect example of this, because I believe the number one part of the job, the most important part of the job of being president, is to be able to unite the country in times of trouble. And Donald Trump may have shown, ironically enough, the only way he can unite the country is to do something so horrible that even Democrats and Republicans are condemning it, which is what he did today. This is literally in the first line of the job description of the presidency of the United States. and he is psychologically incapable, not just from time to time, but literally, fundamentally incapable of doing this. And this has always been obvious about his psychology. What he wrote is not just outrageous, it doesn't even make any sense. That's the other part of this.
Well, it's never, give him a it's never pass, stopped him before.
No, but Mark.
I know. Yeah.
In all seriousness, if you tried to use logic on that post, you might be saying that the son killed his parents on Trump's behalf, right?
That's right.
The only way to even come close to making that make any sense.
Yes, because the accusation is that they were killed because of the anger caused by Trump drain. That's not true. It's in the what Jimmy Kimmel said was not true, and everyone blew their lid. But they're going to defend this. You know what's interesting in moments like this, and you have a lot more followers than I do on Twitter, but what I will find is, you know, because I never know how people are going to respond or interact, and I'm a pretty straight shooter, John. I had a lot of people who agreed with me on this. A lot of people maybe I was even surprised by. But the people who came in to challenge me on Twitter are these people who have like 300 followers. They don't follow me. They must take it upon themselves to find people that are tweeting across the country that these are people who hate Trump, that they can fight with because they're not followers. They're just randos out there that are trying to engage with people that they hate, which is just something you probably experience again 10 times more than I do.
I wonder whether or not those are real human beings.
Well, sometimes I do too. Yeah.
Because I would like to believe that there are not that many incredibly stupid human beings, but maybe there are with a lot of time on their hands. I had an interesting exchange with one person who tried to defend what Trump said and asked me a point which is absurd, knowing me, as you do, you'll understand why this is ridiculous. But they said, well, if someone said horrible things about you in life and they died, would you have been magnanimous? And I said, well, forget it, me for a second. If I was president of the United States and it was my job, I think I would have been able to pull it off. They seem to treat Trump as
a difference,
if he's
yes.
a normal citizen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Absolutely. So just a couple more things as we wrap this up, because this is what he said. He didn't back off.
Well, I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned. He said he knew it was false. In fact, it's the exact opposite, that I was a friend of Russia, controlled by Russia. You know, it was the Russia hoax. He was one of the people behind it. I think he hurt himself in career-wise. He became like a deranged person, Trump derangement syndrome. So I was not a fan of Rob Reiner at all in any way, shape, or form. I thought he was very bad for our country.
Well, but, you know, that was not a secret that they did not like each other. I do find this nugget interesting. I've shared this with a couple of people. John, you probably saw this, that Michelle Singer, the wife, that was the same person who photographed Trump for the cover shot of his book, The Art of the Deal. That's a weird little angle, isn't
it? It's unbelievable. You wonder whether or not Trump even remembers that, or whether or not, bizarrely, maybe it had something even subconsciously to do with his rampage. You know, one of the many frustrating parts of this, and I don't know where you want to go next, but real quick, let me just mention a post that I made on Twitter that is getting a bit of traction right now that is being totally distracted from because of what Trump did. You know, look, I know it's very early in this Rob Reiner situation, and everyone needs to be respectful and find out what the facts are. But, you know, Rob Reiner made a movie with his son.
I have the audio. You tee this up, and I will play the audio because I saw your tweet about this.
Okay, so I find this fascinating, and this is really where conservatives should be focusing the debate about this, because Rob Reiner, in his own words on the Today Show, while promoting this movie that he and his son, who would end up murdering him and his wife, created together, basically lays out the entire liberal philosophy of dealing with problem children and educational priorities in a way that today looks really, really bad and potentially may have been the cause or one of the causes for what happened with this tragedy. And to me, that was where we should be focusing. If there's any kind of criticism of Rob Reiner, that's where it ought to be.
Yeah, so here's the clip, and this is what you tweeted out. This is from the Today Show. This is about 10 years ago, I think.
It was very personal. I mean, it's not a secret, but my son, Nick, who was one of the writers of the screenplay, had his problems with substance abuse, and he went through a number of rehab programs from the time he was 15 to 19. He's doing very good now. But what I didn't understand is the depth of what he was going through. And the process of making this film not only forced me to see what he was experiencing, but I think it forced him to see what I went through and what his mother went through. And hopefully the film is a reflection of that.
I think it's going to be tremendously helpful for so many people to understand.
Hopefully we have to not punish people who have problems. We have to help them. And I think we're going in that direction now. People are starting to recognize it because it's been given a national spotlight on the campaign trail.
You're talking about more of the social worker attitude that he had there at the end of that clip?
Yeah. His phrase, we shouldn't punish people who have problems. Now, look, I realize we're talking in generalities and we don't know the details here, but it certainly seems like this story turned out in a way that would at least make you think, at least make it a legitimate question to ask, maybe the person in question here had problems because they weren't being punished by their father, who was a very powerful guy. And obviously, as a father, you know, discipline should matter. That is, I don't think, out of bounds with regard to the facts that we currently have here. I mean, to me, it's an important question and something we could at least learn from this tragedy. I mean, instead of beating each other up over a stupid Donald Trump post.
Yeah. No, and I understand that. So then there's a couple other stories I want to get to here this afternoon, so I don't want to run out of time. And I don't know how this is going to turn out, and there's so many different angles, but let me start with Barry Weiss on Saturday night with this forum that she did with Erica Kirk, and then I want to get to some of the stuff with Erica Kirk and Candace Owens. So hold your thoughts on that. But so Barry Weiss, who takes over CBS News, holds his town hall, which you'd ordinarily see something like this on Fox, but it's on CBS News on a Saturday night with Erica Kirk. Hi. And this is the last question. It's the guy that was actually asking Charlie Kirk a question when he was brutally assassinated.
Hi, thank you. Your faith in this process has been inspiring, and that inspires this question. How are you able to trust God amidst unfair and immense suffering?
One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Job.
Well, that's not the cut I was looking for there. About that book. So maybe that's not something that I sent appropriately. But you know the cut that I'm talking about, right, John?
Yes, okay. I've seen that's the key clips.
Yeah, that's the wrong clip, I think. So that might have been my screw-up there.
She is asked basically to respond to Candace Owens' conspiracy theories. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yes. Well, but also that it was the guy who was asking the question at the Turning Point USA event that was asking the question. He was asking the question about Trump in his tone, in his rhetoric, and how she sort of weighs that with everything else that's going on. And again, I apologize because I was going to play the specific audio, but we got the wrong clip.
No, I thought she was put on the spot there.
Yeah.
She kind of dodged the question, in my opinion. Barry Weiss has been getting a lot of criticism from the left. I mean, the left has been melting down over the idea that a conservative widow was able to be platformed in what I thought was a very interesting discussion where, you know, Barry Weiss, I think, rightfully condemned much of the MAGA media, specifically Candace Owens, for what have been absolutely bat crap crazy lies and conspiracy theories. I had no problem with this being on CBS, but liberals are so used to CBS being a place where this could never happen, as you've already implied a couple times, that they're almost literally losing their minds over it.
Yeah, it's funny because like the liberals are losing their minds over the fact that Barry even did this on CBS News.
Yes.
And then you have people on the right that are pissed off because they think that the question that, you know, the guy asked, that it was sort of a, you know, setting her up for failure on that. So nobody's happy, I guess, with the thing that happened on Saturday night. But with Barry overall, she makes this move with Tony DeCoppola, white, I think he's straight. That's kind of dangerous, right, to put him in the CBS Evening News chair. What else has she really done at CBS up until this point? Because even that move wasn't real popular, I guess, with the staffers. So we don't know exactly how she's transforming that whole product overall.
See, I think Tony, and I've watched Tony very, very carefully for a long time because this gets into the weeds a little bit. But during COVID, I sent Tony a clip of my daughter because CBS had asked for little kids' reactions to schools being closed. And he not only used my daughter in the piece, he used it in the tease. And I think this is, you know how my brain works, Mark. I think Tony was one of us.
Really?
I think he's a closet conservative. I mean, I have a nose for these things. He is not a liberal.
Do. That's very interesting. Well, you can. There have been times where he's gotten into trouble with coworkers because he has asked some of the questions that the lefties, you know, typically wouldn't ask. So maybe he's a little bit more toward the middle than we think. But if he was a conservative, that would quite be something, wouldn't it?
I think he's a closet right of center person. That's my opinion, having watched him very closely and having had that, you know, rather unique interaction with my daughter during COVID.
On the topic of your daughter, and in the spirit of Christmas, John, I want you to share this. I think you shared this story last year, but you had something else sort of magical related to your daughter occur in your neighborhood this Christmas time, didn't it?
Wow, I'm fascinated that you find this an interesting enough story to tell in St. Louis, but I'm happy to tell it because I think it's a great story.
It is a great story. Yeah.
So the short of it is, because it actually deals with COVID, is that in the year 2020, we were in the insanity of COVID, especially here in Southern California. We had a horrible Halloween, just horrendous. Worst experience as a parent I think I've ever had. And I saw the handwriting on the wall with Christmas. And we have in our neighborhood, like a lot of neighborhoods, we have this one neighborhood that really does it up big for the Christmas lights. I mean, people come from miles and miles around to see the Christmas lights. And I knew where we were headed on this. I knew there was going to be a group of people in that neighborhood that wanted to cancel. And the woman that started it, this is where it gets interesting from a political perspective, the woman that started the whole thing many years ago, we went on a scouting mission, and it was an election year, obviously. She had a massive Biden for president flag.
Right.
And I'm like, we are screwed. We have no chance. Halloween was canceled. Our Christmas, which we do this 20 nights during December, we walk the lights. This is going to get canceled. So I get this idea of having my then 8-year-old daughter write a letter to every single member of the neighborhood and basically make the plea, can we please keep the Christmas lights this year? And lo and behold, the Biden lady was the only one that bailed. Everyone not only stayed strong, Mark, it was the best year ever. And since then, it has exploded. It has exploded. And there are two or three houses to this day that still make sure people remember what happened on that 2020 year where it was almost canceled. And you know how these things work. This goes away 1 year. It's over, right?
Yeah, because, yeah. I think you're
because
right.
Because everybody that doesn't want to take part in it is going to use that as an excuse.
Yes.
Yeah, we're done with that. It's over with. Well, there's this one house, and I'll never forget this, 2020, we're walking along, we're trying to figure out how many of the houses are going to go along with this, and one house has prominently displayed, my daughter's name is Grace, this massive sign that's all decorated that says, Merry Christmas, Grace.
I love that. I remember you sharing that last year.
Right, and so this year, bizarrely, we have no idea how this happened, because my other daughter is younger, Diana, she was mentioned in that original letter 5 years ago. All of a sudden, we're walking along the lights this year. Of course, Grace is very proud of her sign, and about a week into the Christmas season, all of a sudden, they add, and Diana.
I love that.
Which, you know, my little daughter had always been a little bit jealous of Grace, and so that problem got alleviated by people we have never met, Mark.
That's what's incredible. So did the Biden lady ever turn the lights back on in the past few years or not?
The next year she quietly just decided that it was okay to go along with it. And I take great pride every night in December when we walk past the Biden lady and she's got the full lights on.
I love that. Well, look, I love the story. I'm glad you shared it again this year. You have a great Christmas. You know I love you, Zig. Stay on top of it. We'll talk after the first year. We'll take
Merry
care.
Christmas.
Yep, we'll see you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Guys, it's no use putting it off. The best time for an underwear refresh is now. Tommy John underwear is designed for a perfect fit that stays put all day. There's zero chafe thanks to 4 times more stretch than competing brands. And their innovative horizontal quick draw fly is a game changer. With over 30 million pairs sold, there are thousands of men out there more comfortable than you. Don't settle for less. Go to TommyJohn.com today for 25% off your first order with code COMFORT. That's TommyJohn.com, code COMFORT. Tommy John. Comfort perfected.
It's Toyota Truck Month. Time to get a truck that works as hard as you do. Tacoma. Tundra. Built for the worksite. Ready for the trail. And packed with tech that makes every drive smarter. Available with 360-degree panoramic cameras for perfect visibility in tight spots. Powered tailgate for easy loading. And a high-tech connected screen to keep you on the grid no matter where you are. All backed by the brand known for its legendary reliability. The rugged Toyota Tacoma and the full-size Tundra are built to handle it all. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has great financing and lease options available to qualified customers, meaning there's no better time to test drive the Toyota truck you need. Find a great Toyota Truck Month deal today when you visit buyatoyota.com. That's buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Going to head to Milwaukee here in about 10 minutes. My friend Dan O'Donnell, talk show host at WISN. Real interesting case. Hannah Dugan, circuit court judge, who is on trial for helping an illegal immigrant escape out of her courthouse. So we'll have the very latest on that. I love, well, first of all, I love old-time, you know, grumpy newspaper columnists, guys like Bill McClellan here in St. Louis. There's a guy by the name of John Cass, who I've followed for years. John used to be at the Chicago Tribune. He's now just on his website because, as is the case with most media, you know, the resources aren't there, and some of the really good qualified people took buyouts, et cetera, and they don't work in the media anymore. The good thing is you have websites like johncass.com. And he wrote about Minnesota and Little Mogadishu, and I thought the way that he positioned this piece as a Greek immigrant, it was really, really interesting. You know, and he pointed out, and we've said this before, this whole story about fraud in Minnesota that the City Journal broke a couple of weeks ago, we've talked about that for a couple of years on this show with some of our folks like David Strom up there and Liz Collin. And what John points out is that, you know, people in Minnesota, conservatives, have been screaming for years, begging the media to pay some attention to the rampant fraud in Little Mogadishu, formerly known as Minneapolis. So Mr. Cass writes in his latest column, he says, look, my family wasn't from the hellholes of East Africa, but of Greece. Yet beautiful, civilized Greece had been savage hellhole too, at least savage as Somalia for some time, with communist death squads and child murder and raping. It was a mouth of hell. Now, he said, he was born there just 10 years after the bloody Greek Civil War, and his family fought the communists. He says, we hardly ever talked about the Civil War there. We weren't the only ones avoiding family nightmares. Refugee families like the Vietnamese avoid the past as well. They are here in the future, going to college, full of optimism in America, reaching for the American dream. We Greek immigrant kids loved America, too. All of us. Those who would become liberal Democrats, those who would become conservative Republicans, and those who would be apolitical. They loved America. This is the theme here, right? John Cass says, we eagerly joined patriotic pageants at school. We revered education and educators, and several cousins became teachers. We played American sports, desperately to prove ourselves as Americans. My aunts, there were 6 matriarchal sisters here in America, competed against each other to make jello molds they learned about in the Chicago Tribune. John Cass says, we laughed at this, even at the famously delicious strawberry chiffon jello molds and the horrid ones with the floating fruit chunks. Remember those? Ugh. Ugh. Those jello molds were the epitome of Americana to us. Those are some memories from when I was a kid. There's no doubt about that. He says they'd be served for dessert for Sunday dinner along with platters of fresh fruit and honey. I can't pronounce this word with coffee. It's a Greek dish, and I'm not even going to try. But he's talking about how the men would smoke and talk politics, and everything was up for discussion. The kids were expected to participate. The women were expected to participate. He says, we were so eager to become Americans that we eagerly told stories of assimilating to the ways of the Americani. We'd fight you if you dared suggest that we didn't love this country. Our parents kissed the ground of America, and they saw no shame in loving the country that saved the world and saved us. In the old country, my father and grandfather received a hardworking mule to help them plow the fields and survive the famine of the wars. They loved America. They dreamed of it. All Greeks can see themselves in Lycazon's America, America. My father dreamed of America since boyhood. We love this country. We counted ourselves fortunate. We would never hurt her or steal from her. In other words, we weren't Somalis. And he told this great story, kind of digress. He goes, quick story. Years ago in the spring, I was driving in along I-57, he said. And I guess his grandparents were there, and they had stayed in Greece when the rest of them came to America. And his grandfather says, I have to get out. And he pulls over on the shoulder of the highway at the edge of a cornfield. He walks up to the fence. He turns his face. John says he could see that he was sobbing. And he said, how flat, how rich, so beautiful, Theo said, sticking his hands into the soil. One small field could feed a whole village for a year. What a country, my boy. What a country. America, America. But as John points out, he doesn't hear wonder or gratitude from the lips of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a Somali refugee who was given everything from America, protection, money, status, and education, everything. All I hear from her, John Cass wrote, is how she despises our country, complaints and demands. Few Americans know that she is of the oppressors among the Somali. He says, I watch her seething and hating America, always demanding, sneering at the discovery of billion-dollar fraud. I can envision her someday ordering our executions. Well, look, that sounds radical, right? But her father was of the brutal Somali regime that led to the brutal genocide there. And when the bloodthirsty regime fell, her family fled as refugees from the others that they had ruined had done. So they were of the ruling elite. And Omar's family flees. They go to Kenya first, then they go to the United States. So the question is, did they flee oppression or were they the oppressors fleeing accountability? I believe it was the latter. That's interesting. According to reports by both legal and historical standards, despite Ilhan Omar's team's spin in numerous recent articles which have been placed in left-leaning publications, the logical conclusion that Ilhan Omar's father was almost certainly intimately involved with the genocide is unmistakable. It's supported on the balance of probabilities, and the totality of the circumstantial and inferential evidence available indicates more critically that it meets the threshold that this was the case beyond reasonable doubt. Which begs the question, why do the American taxpayers keep giving Somali people billions of dollars? Well, his answer is because we've been manipulated by the global left to hate ourselves because we're suicidal. Now, he kind of goes into Chicago politics and how the little Mogadishu way is the same thing in Chicago with fraud and abuse. And John Cass is, you know, an expert at writing about this stuff, and he has been for decades in the city of Chicago. But I have to share the way he closed this piece. He says, I'm not angry at the people of Afghanistan or Somalia. We should never have gone to Afghanistan or Somalia and gathering tribal people from the Stone Age and shoehorning them into America, expecting they'll develop an affinity with the Federalist Papers is not a solution, not for them or for us. Yes, the Democrats shipped them in by the tens of millions. Biden called them to storm the border. And the other Democrats and legacy corporate media wanted the migrant poor to become their dependents, requiring federal aid. The Democrats upheave our society to get votes. They do not demand assimilation, as all political parties demanded when my family, when John's family came to America. The poor and the desperate are compelled to kiss the hand holding the food. But on a large scale, it's a prescription of failure. And it is. We can't just live this way. This is our way of life. That's what's on the line here. So I voted for President Trump, despite all the failures and the concerns. Mr. Cass says, look to Europe. See what caving to the left means. The Europeans are allowing themselves to be devoured. It's so bad now in the UK that authorities have arrested thousands of Englishmen for daring to speak their minds. On the internet. You say things on the internet. You get arrested. That's not 1984, as John Cass wrote. That's not a dystopian novel. That's what's happening in reality in 2025. Now, he says in a few years, they won't have a country. Do the Democrats hate America so much that they would visit such pain and anarchy upon us? Yes. Yes, they hate us that much. They've broken the immigration system. Any attempts to fix it, they don't want any part of that, right? And if you want to do it as a conservative, you're a subhuman Nazi. Now, this seems very, very insensitive on the part of the president, Mr. Cass, to suggest that the Somalis shouldn't be here. But he closed this way in his column. America must be rid of those who don't want to assimilate soon, or we'll die. And our children and our country will die. We're not sheeple to expose our throats to slaughter. We're Americans. Remember that. I think that's pretty important.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bob-O-Pedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Guys, it's no use putting it off. The best time for an underwear refresh is now. Tommy John underwear is designed for a perfect fit that stays put all day. There's zero chafe thanks to four times more stretch than competing brands. And their innovative horizontal quick draw fly is a game changer. With over 30 million pairs sold, there are thousands of men out there more comfortable than you. Don't settle for less. Go to TommyJohn.com today for 25% off your first order with code COMFORT. That's TommyJohn.com, code COMFORT. Tommy John. Comfort perfected.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Toyota builds vehicles that don't just keep up, they lead the pack. On the road, in your routine, and most of all, within your budget. Take the Camry and Corolla. Two stylish and dependable cars, both with the latest tech and driver-friendly features, and the performance to make every commute feel effortless. Or if you're chasing space, adventure, and versatility, check out Toyota's RAV4 and Grand Highlander, delivering the capability, comfort, and confidence to take you everywhere you need to go. Plus, with hybrid options designed for efficiency, and four-wheel and all-wheel drive models ready for any terrain, your Toyota is more than just a reliable way to get around. It's built for your way of life. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has great financing and lease options available to qualified customers, meaning there's no better time to step into a new Toyota. Start your search for great deals today at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Well, crazy case in Wisconsin. To keep track of this, you have a trial underway for Wisconsin Judge Hannah Dugan, who is accused of letting an illegal migrant just slip out the back way in her courthouse. She's now on trial for this. My friend Dan O'Donnell, Milwaukee talk show host at WISN Radio, with me this afternoon. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Mark.
This is one of those stories, because I always refer to the news cycle and how busy it is. I think it's being a little undercovered nationally because of everything else that's going on right now. You got Rob Reiner, a lot of other things. But this, and you and I talked about this when this happened, this is a fascinating case where it certainly looks like this judge, who was a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, helped get someone who is an illegal out of her courtroom, encouraged that action to avoid ICE.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And in fact, during opening arguments today, prosecutors played audio that was recorded during an off-the-record portion of the hearing at which she did help this illegal, a violent illegal, who had been deported before, escape. She actually told her court reporter, "I will take the heat for getting this guy through the jury room exit and away from ICE agents. Yeah, it was a pretty dramatic courtroom moment because we knew that there was some sort of incriminating statement that Dugan had made. We didn't know it was that incriminating. In fact, the Milwaukee County Circuit Court, where Dugan was employed, as well as the state court system, refused to release this audio to the public, despite multiple Freedom of Information Act requests, because they argued, well, it's not in the public interest. Well, yes, obviously.
Yeah, I think it is.
Now,
yeah.
Now I think we know why. There was a bit of an effort to protect her, because this was just, this is about as damning as it gets. Not only that, in the opening argument prosecutors made this morning, they actually revealed evidence that we did not know about before. Dugan used a private email address, so not one that would be necessarily discoverable under a Freedom of Information Act request, to share with her fellow judges a poster that was on her door that said, effectively, if you feel unsafe appearing in court, let me know. Once again, we have what appears to be evidence of clear intent to use her position in order to shuttle illegal alien criminals. That's what, this guy was a criminal, and she shuttled him out the jury room door and away from ICE agents.
It really is amazing. And if that audio that you referred to is accurate, I think that would immediately remove any reasonable doubt here. But Dan, you're also someone who has a law degree. And I remember when this all happened, you know, Jonathan Turley and a couple others wrote about this, saying you'd have to have an overwhelming amount of evidence because, you know, you're going after a circuit court judge and you're still going to have a pretty, you know, high bar, for example, for prosecution. But it seems, you tell me, you're close to the action here, that the prosecution has this pretty buttoned up. What's the defense going to do?
Well, what the defense did in its opening argument, Dugan's defense attorney, Stephen Biskupic, who's actually a former U.S. attorney under the Bush administration in Milwaukee, has been trying to turn this into a referendum on ICE agents themselves. No real surprises that there was an attempt to politicize this, but he is trying to make the case that, well, Dugan is being prosecuted because she didn't act in the way that the Trump administration wanted her to act towards ICE agents. Well, unfortunately for the defense, the statutes that she's accused of violating are crystal clear. She interfered with the enforcement of valid federal immigration law, regardless of whether or not you're a leftist judge and you don't think that ICE should be able to deport people. They are legally authorized to deport people, regardless of what sort of warrant, whether it's an administrative warrant, whether it's a judicial warrant. Both actions are equally valid under the law. The statute makes this abundantly clear. So it's no surprise that Biskupic is on Dugan's behalf trying to say, well, this is really about what we want ICE agents to be able to do in courtrooms or in churches or whatever. No, it actually isn't. It's whether or not a judge did what, in my humble opinion, is about the worst possible thing a judge can do. And that is simply use her position, not just to declare someone not guilty. People, I think, forget. The illegal alien here, Eduardo Flores Ruiz, was accused of viciously beating his roommate and his roommate's girlfriend. This was a violent assault from someone who had been deported before. She didn't just declare him not guilty or dismiss his case, which would be objectionable, but certainly something she could do given her power and her authority.
Absolutely.
As a judge.
Yeah.
She took the law into her own hands. She said, I'm going to help this guy sneak out. What do you think is going to happen?
Dan, it's unbelievable. It really is. So this is what I love about this, because it really is. It's comical if you think about it. So Biskupic, and I'm reading a little bit about these opening statements, right?
Yeah.
He says that the judge cannot be found guilty by association for the fact that he decided to run from agents. All she did was send him out the hallway. That sounds like an SNL bit.
Yeah, it does. It's like, well, she just showed him the door, a door that, by the way, nobody else knew was here. The other argument he tried to make was, well, guess what? The door was only 11 feet
right
from the public.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's behind the jury box. Everyone who goes in a courtroom knows you're not supposed to go out through that door. So if there is, and it goes to a completely separate elevator, it goes to a completely separate area of the courtroom. I mean, you can't take too much away from opening statements, but it certainly does sound like the defense is sort of grasping at straws.
Yeah. So,
right now.
You know, how would you handicap this? Because again, you know, we've talked about a lot of cases, Dan, you followed a lot of these. I've covered a lot of trials. Juries are very hard to predict, right? And you don't know. And if you're not in the courtroom the whole time, sometimes it's hard to tell, but this one, it would shock me just looking at what has happened in the case and based on what happened in opening statements, if there's not a guilty verdict here. So, you know, is there enough leeway? Do you think that she could be found not guilty?
I mean, the only way you would really get one is, I think, if there's a form of jury nullification here where the jury basically says, yes, 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 we know the law is crystal clear. Her actions clearly violate said law, but we want to make a political or sociocultural statement about ICE and about the Trump administration's administration of immigration law. And they basically say, okay, well, Hannah Dugan is a martyr for the cause.
Yeah.
That to me is the only thing. Now, it speaks volumes to me that the judge overseeing this, Lynn Edelman, is about the most left-wing judge. He's 85 years old, and he has been about the most left-wing judge on the federal bench for decades and decades and decades.
I remember his name, but was he, when I was there like in early 2000s, was he a judge or was he a prosecutor? Because I remember that name.
He was, I believe, a judge. He was a state legislator for a good portion of the duration of when you were there. But Bill Clinton appointed him to the federal bench in, I want to say, 96, 97, somewhere in there. And he's been there ever since. But the fact that he didn't throw out this case, the fact that he didn't say, the prosecution did not meet its burden, we're not going to have a trial, case dismissed, means this. I struggle to see how she's not dead to rights.
Right.
When
I would
even
agree.
Edelman, who you know, being just far left, and he was a guy who actually got viciously smacked down by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, because despite all law and evidence to the contrary, he tried to claim that Wisconsin's voter ID law about a decade ago was unconstitutional. Seventh Circuit wrote just a humiliating reversal of his decision, saying one judge doesn't get to overturn a law passed by both houses of the legislature and signed by a governor, even if he really, really, really doesn't like it. So the fact that Edelman is very politically left-wing, very diametrically opposed to Trump, despises ICE, I am presuming, but isn't and hasn't dismissed this case, tells me that even he can see how strong the evidence is against Dugan.
Yeah, that's interesting. It really is. What's the expectation for the timetable here? Will they be done before Christmas, or is that not expected?
Yeah, I believe there are 4 days set aside for this trial, possibly a fifth if need be. It seems like they're moving very, very quickly. The prosecution has presented 2 or 3 witnesses already this afternoon following opening statements. But the presumption is it's going to be done this week. And then who knows how long the jury is going to deliberate. But my guess is that it's not going to be very long.
Dan O'Donnell up at WISN in Milwaukee, where they are very sad today, as I am, that Micah Parsons is out for the rest of Dan. Oh, my God. And then, you know, I cheat a little. I split my allegiance. And so I'm a Chiefs fan, too. And then Mahomes goes down. Ooh. They were kind of done anyway. But Micah with that injury, and Christian Watson.
Yeah.
I love the guy. But he's like you know, we had Sam Bradford here with the Rams.
Yep.
He's like the Sam Bradford of wide receivers. He gets hurt all the time. I feel terrible for the kid, but good Lord.
Yeah, he just is never going to be able to stay on the field, unfortunately. He rushed back from that knee injury last year. And now it looks like, I mean, he's on the injury report, and theoretically he's going to try to play. My guess is that he's not. That looks pretty serious when Sertan fell on him. Parsons, obviously, is the just absolute killer loss. If not for Myles Garrett doing what he's doing in Cleveland, Parsons would have been the defensive player of the year, and it wouldn't have even been close. And he has just been the heart of the Packers defense. And to lose him probably well into next season, that's just tough.
Yeah, that's the problem. That this is like, even for Mahomes, you know, that's like a year, you know, like you're talking like maybe mid-season return if everything goes well. So that's, you know, these athletes, I saw Micah's statement, it's very positive, but I feel badly for them when they just have to sit there and do rehab for the whole time. They do make a fair amount of money for doing that. Dan, I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope all is well with the new show up there on WISN, and you keep in touch.
Absolutely, sir. Merry Christmas to you.
days where it's sort of been hard to track the stories to a certain extent from the perspective that there's so many. We still have a suspect on the loose at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. I have some things for audio cut of the day, but let me give you the very latest on that, because in the middle of the show today, they held a news conference. And, you know, one of the questions, this was stunning. Let me play this first, because I played this a little earlier. The president of Providence, president of Brown University in Providence, was asked by a reporter in the aftermath of this all happening, 6 hours after the shooting started, what was going on in the classrooms. And the president was really caught off guard by this.
I'm catching up right now.
President, with all due respect, yeah. 6 hours after this shooting, and you said you don't know what was going on in that classroom? How does that happen? Were they taking an exam? Were they meeting for a club?
I don't know. I don't know.
6 hours later, and you're the president, and you don't know?
I do not know.
Well, that's kind of concerning.
I think it's concerning as well. But now you have the attorney general, and I'm going to lead you into what happened today. The attorney general of Rhode Island said, yeah, you know what? There's just not a conspiracy. There's just not a lot of video.
There just weren't a lot of cameras in that Brown building is the reality. It's, you know, both of my kids were engineering students and were in that library a lot, class of 19 and class of 22. The reality is it's an old building attached to a new one. So there just isn't.
Okay. But the reality is, in this country in 2025, and this has been the reality for a while, there are cameras everywhere, dude, everywhere. And now we know that because this shooter's been caught on several cameras, and the police department in Providence had to release some of those today and show people I would describe it as a portly man who looks white to me, but he's got a black mask on, and it's the kind of mask that it's, you know, COVID-esque, but it covers more of his face than a COVID mask even. He clearly was trying to, you know, mask his identity. Here's what they said today, and they released some of these videos.
The 49th hour, and there's no one that wants to put this individual in handcuffs than us. So this has brought us to a new lead, which I momentarily will be able to provide you with, that's going to include video of this individual as well as photos of this individual. We're asking the public for assistance to be able to identify this individual. The photos I will be able to show you are coming from the area of Hope Street near Benevolent and Menin. And those photos and those videos were retrieved around 2 p.m. on Saturday the 13th. And we believe that that's the same individual that we showed you from the previous video that we released.
You don't get to see a lot, but they're hoping that someone recognizes this guy. It's not like Luigi Mangione, where it's going to stick out with eyebrows.
So this is the first video that we're showing you. This is the individual walking. It's on the side of, on the sidewalk of Benevolent. And this is prior to the incident. Here we go again with is this video too, Mike? Again, you see him walking.
That's a person on the radio describing video that you can't see, and I understand that. But it's not something that jumps out to you. If you've seen these videos released, we're going to say, oh, they're going to get this guy within the next few hours. Will someone potentially recognize him? I think maybe, but I'm not sure it's going to be so cut and dry. And this is weird because they still don't have that person in custody.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, look, I'm keeping politics out of this right now because Rob Reiner, as a actor and as a comedian and as a filmmaker and producer, was a legend. And the movies, movie after movie after movie, like this one of my favorites.
Did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I mean, that's one of the best movies of all time. You went lighter with movies like When Harry Met Sally.
That's what I always say. Let it lie. Want to spend the night in a motel? See what I did? I didn't let it lie.
Harry.
I said I would, and then I didn't.
Harry.
I went the other way.
Harry.
What?
We are just going to be friends, okay?
And then what he did in the early 1970s with Carol Connor and Norman Lear and the cast of All in the Family was groundbreaking.
Hey, Arch.
What do you want?
I don't know about these pajamas you gave me.
About 90 million people in the city of New York, and look at me, shacking up with you.
What are you taking?
It's for blood pressure. What they call an anti-meathead pill.
You know, it's kind of jarring. Who was it? A couple years ago, they went back and some more modern actors, if I remember correctly, did some of the episodes of All in the Family, you know, live on television. I seem to remember that happening. But if you go back and watch some of the original, you know, versions of All in the Family, I remember watching this. My daughter's 11 years old. I had to be younger than her because this would have been like 70, 73, 74 watching with my grandparents. But you watch it in 2025 and you see the topics that they were touching on and talking about. It's jarring to think that that kind of discussion happened on American television in the early 1970s. You might not even be able to pull it off today, as weird as that is. Have a great Monday night. We'll talk tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Guys, it's no use putting it off. The best time for an underwear refresh is now. Tommy John underwear is designed for a perfect fit that stays put all day. There's zero chafe thanks to four times more stretch than competing brands. And their innovative horizontal quick draw fly is a game changer. With over 30 million pairs sold, there are thousands of men out there more comfortable than you. Don't settle for less. Go to TommyJohn.com today for 25% off your first order with code COMFORT. That's TommyJohn.com, code COMFORT. Tommy John, comfort perfected.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Toyota builds vehicles that don't just keep up, they lead the pack. On the road, in your routine, and most of all, within your budget. Take the Camry and Corolla. Two stylish and dependable cars, both with the latest tech and driver-friendly features, and the performance to make every commute feel effortless. Or if you're chasing space, adventure, and versatility, check out Toyota's RAV4 and Grand Highlander, delivering the capability, comfort, and confidence to take you everywhere you need to go. Plus, with hybrid options designed for efficiency and four-wheel and all-wheel drive models ready for any terrain, your Toyota is more than just a reliable way to get around. It's built for your way of life. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has great financing and lease options available to qualified customers, meaning there's no better time to step into a new Toyota. Start your search for great deals today at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
If you're the kind of person who reads ingredient labels for yourself, for your coffee creamer, for literally everything, it makes sense to care just as much about what you're feeding your dog. That's why so many dog parents are choosing Healthy Dogma. Healthy Dogma makes dog food with real, recognizable ingredients. No fillers, no mystery ingredients. Just thoughtfully sourced nutrition that actually makes sense. Their protein-added Pet Mix complete meals are gently dehydrated to preserve goodness and make life easier. And in minutes, mealtime is ready. It's simple, convenient, and feels like a better way to feed your dog without overthinking it. Because taking care of your dog shouldn't feel complicated. It should feel aligned with how you already live. Right now, you can save 20% on your first purchase at HealthyDogma.com with code HEALTHY. That's 20% off your first purchase at HealthyDogma.com with code HEALTHY. Healthy Dogma, food made with care.